You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always a pleasure to be in studio as we answer your questions. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. There are so many people today who are watching our YouTube channel, and we're putting more and more content up on our YouTube channel each and every day. And if you enjoy the videos, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel for thousands of free archived videos, audio recordings, written articles. You can also head over to our website, the address that I just gave, equip.org. And also a reminder to subscribe to our award-winning magazine, the Christian Research Journal. And for those of you that want to make a vital difference in the battle for life and truth, I would love to invite you to become a CRI support team member. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. My latest book, Life Matters, or Truth Matters, Life Matters More. It's interesting that I've gotten a lot of reaction to the fact that I say life matters more. And I don't blame people that are reacting to that, because when I first heard that phrase, as I describe in the book, I reacted rather vehemently as well. But for those who think that now I am embracing a mere experiential religion, please understand that that is not the case. I wrote about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And here's what I say. When Elijah Wajaya, who first said that phrase to me, was explaining what he meant, he wasn't setting up a false dichotomy. After all, Jesus not only declared himself to be the way to the Father, but the truth and the life. And I love to quote Vladimir Lossky in this regard. He said it best, I think. Outside the truth, kept by the whole church, personal experience would be deprived of all certainty, of all objectivity. It would be a mingling of truth and falsehood, of reality and illusion. Why? Well, because the teaching of the church would have no hold on souls if it did not in some degree express an inner experience of truth, granted in different measure, to each one of the faithful. So the point is, there can be no life without truth, but above all, no truth without life. The life that matters more is a realm that is largely inaccessible to our human apprehensions of truth. As I've said over and over again, it involves a mysterium that is to be experienced rather than explained. And while the divine incomprehensibility of the life that matters more is not a prohibition upon knowledge, it is the transcending of knowledge. It's the transcending of all philosophical speculation. To quote Vladimir Lossky once more, he said this, and I think this is a poignant quote that underscores what I'm trying to communicate. Christian theology, said, is always, in the last resort, a means. It is a unity of knowledge subserving an end which transcends all knowledge. That ultimate end is union with God. or deification. And again, when I talk about deification, it's deification rightly understood. I wrote about deification in my book, Christianity in Crisis, in the World of the Occult, the Kingdom of the Cults, in False Permeations of Christianity. So there's a false view of deification, but there's also a proper view of deification communicated throughout church history from the early church fathers like Ignatius of Antioch, Polycarp, Irenaeus of Lyon, and on it goes, Athanasius, all the way through the time of Martin Luther. Well, enough of that. Let me go to the phone lines, talk to Monique in Los Angeles, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Monique.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I have a question. I was listening to an author by the name of Robert Henderson regarding courts of heaven, and he said that we have to go to the courts of heaven to cleanse our bloodline of any generational curses. Can you give me any truth to that, if there is? And I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer, okay?
Yeah. No truth to that whatsoever, and unfortunately, this is a view that has been popularized in modern-day Christianity by people like Joel Osteen, that Jesus didn't fully atone for our sins on the cross, that there was more sin to be atoned for after the cross. He atoned for that sin in hell, and even then, he wasn't done atoning for our sins because that sin had to be atoned for in the high court of heaven as well. The other part of your question having to do with generational curses is also ill-founded. The Bible talks about the consequences of sin following from one generation down through another generation. So through the generations, the sins of the fathers are visited on the sons in the sense of the consequences. But if you look at the whole of Scripture, the Scripture makes patently plain that we are not responsible as fathers for the sins of our sons, nor as sons for the sins of our fathers. In fact, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 18, there's an entire chapter there that spells this out in minute detail. Over and over again, the point is made that the father is not responsible for the sin of the son, or vice versa. In fact, that passage starts out by saying, you know, there's a proverb in Israel, and I don't want you to repeat it anymore. And this is God speaking. The proverb essentially is, the fathers eat sour grapes, and the son's teeth are set on end, or vice versa. And the idea there, again, has to do with sin of the father being accounted to the son and vice versa. But God says, I don't want you to say it anymore, because every person is responsible for their own sin. And so this whole notion of generational curses is an ill-founded concept. I talk about this in some substantial detail in a book called The Bible Answer Book, and we have a brand new edition, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. You can find it on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I also wanted to, since I'm talking about this subject and I'm thinking about generational curses and the fact that Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and the faith teachers in general teach this, I wanted to mention that Joyce Meyer, I got a question about this yesterday, I didn't get to it. Joyce Meyer is part of the prosperity gospel and as such is consistently twisting the scripture. And one of the most poignant examples of that is where there is a paralytic, and I write about this in Christianity in Crisis. He's lying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and Joyce Meyer says that this paralytic is faithless and foolish. And in her revision of the words of the paralytic, she has him invoking one pathetic excuse after the other. So without any compassion, she says, I would think that after 38 years, a diligent, determined person could have crawled over the edge of that pool. Even if that man had only moved an inch a year, it seems that in 38 years, he ought to have been able to get close enough to the edge to just roll over into the water when it was stirred up. So she has a sense of disgust for the paralytic. Why? Because if he had enough faith, and in her view, faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, you create your own reality, he could have been healed. And has that any effect on people today? Of course it does, because when people themselves get sick, on top of their sickness, they now feel the guilt of not having enough faith, and perhaps they uttered a faith-deprived word like that tickled me to death, and all of a sudden, because of that, they have cancer in their life or whatever it might be, their child died.
Theology, like politics, has in many ways become a blood sport. While Western Christian theology tends to focus on a conceptual framework of faith signifying arguments about God, Eastern Christian theology emphasizes a transformed life and a faith focused on union with God. It is the reason that Hank Hanegraaff wrote Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and the difference between knowing about God and truly knowing God in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Aaron in Antioch, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Hey, I have a question. So I'm a believer. I believe in the Trinity, and I was having a discussion with a friend of mine, and it came up that we have different views on that, and he's insistent that it's all Jesus, that the Father is Jesus, the Holy Spirit is Jesus, and he pointed to a couple scriptures that I didn't know how to process or respond, so I thought I'd throw the question to you, and it is, I think it was from John 10 and John 14, like he used a couple different scriptures, one which says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and the other one was, I and the Father are one. And I didn't know how to respond to those in dealing with how he was defending what he was believing.
Yeah. So this is actually John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, you have all of these things being said. You have Jesus saying, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, and saying the Father and I are one. So both of those things are part of a conversation. Again, it's in John chapter 14. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. And then Philip said, let me repeat that. He said, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is my Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. You can go on and read the rest of that passage, but the entirety of the conversation is poignant and profound. Jesus is saying that he is the exact representation of the nature of God. In other words, the Son is the radiance of God. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, which is precisely how Hebrews 1 puts it. And I think the author of Hebrews is the Apostle Paul. Or if you look at Colossians 1:15, where Jesus says that he is the image, or Paul is saying that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You and I, as human beings, are created in the image of God, but Jesus is himself the exact image of the Father. Now, to say that Jesus is the same essence of the Father does not mean that there are not subject-object distinctions between the Father and the Son. Of course there are. Jesus is not praying to himself when he's praying to the Father. No, he's praying to the Father. So this is the mystery of the Trinity. We say in the Trinity that there's one God revealed in three subjects, eternally distinct. So when we're talking about the essence of God, we're saying there's only one God. If we're talking about subject-object relationships within the Godhead, then we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As I've explained this from time to time, another way of putting this is to say that there's one what, having to do with the essence or the nature of God, and there are three who's, subjects within the Trinity that act in loving relationships one toward the other. I mentioned on yesterday's show that to have a Unitarian view of God, whether it's oneness Pentecostalism or whether it is Mormonism or some other deviation, well, not Mormonism, but Islam, Muslims. If you have a Unitarian view of God, you always have a deficient God, because for God to be a God of love, there have to be subjects within the Godhead. Because if there were not subjects within the Godhead, there would be no one to love. And if there's no one to love, then you don't have the attribute of love. And if you don't have the attribute of love, logically, you're morally deficient. So the beauty of the Trinity is that at once, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. On the other hand, it is a mystery. It is completely beyond us. So on the one hand, we can say that God in the incarnation is knowable. On the other hand, we can say that God in his essence is ineffable. He is unknowable. In fact, we will spend all of eternity seeking to know God more. So you have to admit to your friend that this is a mystery, but also it's not something that is illogical. It would be illogical to say there's one God and three gods, but not to say there's one God in terms of his essence, three in terms of subject-object relationships within the Godhead.
So then, and when you say, oh, you've seen the Father, he's really getting across that if we've seen Jesus, then we've seen God in his essence,
yes,
or nature, not the Father specifically, but God in general.
Yes, exactly. In other words, Jesus here is talking about the fact that he is of the same essence as of the Father. So the oneness is in essence, yes, that you absolutely
got
nailed it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You got it, Aaron. Sheldon in Chicago, Illinois next. Hi, Sheldon.
Hi, Hank. I just wanted to say first off that I prayed fervently for you when you went through the time, and I prayed God that you got better, and I pray that your healing continue.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to say that first and foremost. But the problem that I'm having trouble with prayer now. I used to pray for about an hour and 15 minutes about every subject under the sun, family, friends, the Christian church, everything. But it feels so repetitious now. I just need something to refresh my prayers so that I can pray freely and please God again.
Yeah, it's wonderful. In fact, this is one of the spiritual disciplines that I write about in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And the basic template that I give is, first of all, the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, called the Lord's Prayer. I call it the prayer of Jesus. That prayer, if you start to recognize the depth of treasure in each one of the phrases, you can spend hours just with the Lord's Prayer in and of itself. So when you pray, Our Father, I mean, think of the fact that you're praying in plural. It's not my Father, it's our Father. We're part of the body of Christ. We're living stones in the temple of God. You know, the very fact that we're able to call God our Father is quite a transition, even for the disciples. They weren't even able to mention the name of God, much less call him Father, and yet that's precisely what Jesus taught his disciples to do. My point is that when you start looking at the treasure or the riches that are inculcated in the words of the Lord's Prayer, that in itself makes prayer a treasure chest that you can get enveloped in, lost in. I also use as a pattern for my prayer what I call the FACTS prayer guide. And FACTS is an acronym. And I don't always go in the order of the letters, but I always cover all of the letters in my prayer time. The F stands for faith. So I always in my prayer time want to express my faith in God. The A stands for adoration. So I want to worship God and adore Him in my prayers. The C stands for confession. And by the way, I oftentimes use psalms as part of my prayer life. So with confession, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. So I use Psalm 51. The T stands for thanksgiving. So often I'm thankless in my own prayer life. And so I want to make sure that I spend time thanking God for His many blessings, including you praying for me while I was sick and as I'm going through the healing process. And then the S is the time that you bring your supplications. There's also more that I've written about, including not the prayer of Jesus, but the Jesus prayer, which is poignant and profound as well in enhancing your prayer life. All of that in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Out of time. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.